Mikey, I don't see you wearing an I voted sticker. You didn't get one, or you haven't voted yet? What's up?
I was out there this morning, but I don't need a sticker to let people know that I went. I mean, geez. You need a sticker to let people know that you voted? Just go out and vote.
At least,
come on.
I mean, I was there at 5:45. Can I get a donut? I want a donut.
I'd rather get a donut than a sticker. I mean, come on. Just, all right, away we go.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
All right, welcome to the show. B. Comp and Carver here with you in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to speak with EJ Raddick from the NHL Network in just a few minutes. Travis Hamonic out 4 to 6 weeks. We're going to get into that. But first, Mikey, big win, at least I think, for Jack Capuano against the Vancouver Canucks on Monday.
Sure, if you want to go there first, big win. Yeah, they got a win over a terrible team. Good job at the Barclays Center for the Islanders.
Mike, I got to preface this by saying that I don't ever want to see anyone lose their job because it sucks. And,
no,
you know,
it's not fun.
Jack's a good guy, and he's done a decent job over the course of his whole career here. Let's be honest, back-to-back 100-point seasons. The Islanders won their first playoff round in 23 years last season. But to think that he would still be safe after losing to a team that had lost 8 in a row at home, I'm not so sure, buddy.
I don't know. I think you might be right. I don't know if he would have survived if he would have lost that game to the Vancouver Canucks. Considering what happened in the last week, I thought that a game like losing 6-1 to Tampa at home, that kind of night is the kind of night that gets somebody fired.
Yeah, that was bad.
The Philadelphia game, that wasn't too good either. Jack blows up after the game, talking about 145 points. I'm still playing with 6 defensemen. So we see there's a little rift going. Saturday, you get a 2-0 lead out of the gates.
Right.
And you blow that. I understand Edmonton's played well this year, but come on, let's go. And you threw Nick Leddy out there to start a shootout on Saturday night. That was puzzling. It's been a rough week for Jack. Let's be fair.
It's been really rough. One thing that did happen was Andrew Ladd and Jason Chimara scored goals Monday night, so the Islanders at least have that
going.
Well,
I mean, that was huge for you. You're the biggest Ladd supporter going. I know you love Andrew.
I like Andrew Ladd.
You love Andrew Ladd, and you every day you finally scored for you, buddy.
Hey, at least I called it on Twitter. How about that?
Well, I mean, he was gonna score.
I figured if he's ever going to score, tonight's the night because Vancouver stinks.
A 4-2 win over Vancouver is all nice.
Right.
They're the worst team in hockey, possibly.
Yeah, no, they're bad.
They're really bad.
Yeah.
This doesn't change.
Banged up.
This doesn't change my feelings on the team, Brian. Honestly, from what I've seen this year,
me neither.
This team is not that good. They're not as good as the team that won last year. I've been saying that since the middle of July. They've shown it here in the first 6 weeks of the season. It's only going to get tougher. I thought the last week was quite honestly embarrassing.
I thought it wasn't good.
Even though they got a point in the Philly game and a point in the Edmonton game, which was something that they weren't doing for the first 3.5 weeks of the season, they weren't getting those points. But I don't care that they got those points. This team stinks, to be quite honest with you. Right now, they've got problems that need to be fixed, whether it be having 3 goalies. There's other things going on.
Yeah.
Now they're out Hamonic for a while, which we'll talk about later. This isn't a good scene right now.
We'll talk about Jack a little more later in the show as well. I'm going to throw this at you. They're finally going on the road for more than 24 hours.
And that's the biggest problem. They've played pretty much, you know, they played 90% of the season at home so far.
Right.
Which is an issue.
But, and I know that these are tough games. I know Florida's not playing great, but they're still a pretty good hockey team. And we know what Tampa Bay is. We saw them last week. But the guys were really excited after the game last night about the opportunity to get on the road and bond as a team. It goes a long way sometimes, Mike. I'm not saying that this is the start of something big, like Stan Fischer always likes to say to the guys after they win a game like they did Monday night. But I'm curious to see how they respond on the road. They finally get to go have a nice dinner together as a team, whatever else they're going to do. Maybe they're going to go to the beach. They're going down to Florida for a few days. But I think this could be something very important here. They finally get a chance to be together as a group.
I don't disagree with
away
that.
Away from the wives and the kids and
sometimes
everything
sometimes that's a good thing, and you're right. They haven't had that yet this year. They've played 3
at
road
all.
Games.
And it's November.
One was at the
it's
Garden,
crazy.
which isn't a road
right.
game. The other one was one night in Washington. They went down there
and
for
one
a day.
Night in Pittsburgh.
And one night in Pittsburgh off a back-to-back, so they didn't even stay in Pittsburgh. They were home after that. So you could be right. 4 days down in the sunshine in Florida maybe can do them some right. I don't know. I think it's going to take a lot to get out of the hole that they've put themselves in here early on. I don't like what I see. The biggest thing for me, they put too much stock in 3 guys that just aren't ready to do what they are asking of them, and that's Strome, Nelson, and Lee for me. I think that they thought these 3 guys would be top 6 forwards, put up a lot of points.
Yep.
They haven't done it. They're just – either they're not ready, they're not going to be ready. It's one of those things, and I don't like it right now. And that's where the Islanders season for me has taken a big problem, and the goalie fiasco, which we all know about.
And as far as Nelson and Strome go, are they really head and shoulders better than Matthew Barzal, who sits and watches every single game?
The kid's in the press box every
night. Why can't he get into a game?
I don't get it. Jack said after Thursday, if we got to play the kids, we're going to play the kids. All right.
We'll play him. Bovillier didn't play Monday either.
Play him. You got Quine in there over Bovillier in the Vancouver game. Now you're done. Bovillier's in.
He's played 10 games,
yep. So he ain't going nowhere. Right. You can't sit him in the press box every night.
No.
If you're going to keep these guys around, you got to play them. They're getting Nino'd all over again here. This is what's going to happen.
I think Nelson's staying because I think Jack loves him. But do you think they're maybe showcasing Ryan Strome?
Get rid of somebody.
Is something coming down the pike?
Can you do something? Something's got to change.
I think they have to, Mike.
Do you like the roster as it's presently constituted?
I don't think it's a talent issue. There's something's missing.
That kid needs a change of scenery.
I think that's what it is.
Something's got to change.
To me, okay? This is not a 5-6-2 roster. I think they're better than this. I really do. Player for player, when you compare them to other teams that are like Vancouver. Vancouver has a similar record. They got off to a great start, and they haven't won since that four-game winning streak. But they're player for player with the Canucks. It's not even close. I think, from a talent standpoint.
Well, it's a good thing the Canucks came into town because, like you said, Ladd, Chimera, Kuhlman all got off the deck, finally got on the board. Clutterbuck scored a big goal, which shades of last year.
Right.
Finally nice
he did
to see
that all
that
the
from
time
Cal.
Last year, yeah.
So they got some things that you haven't seen over the first 11, 12 games happen in that Vancouver game. I'm cautiously just going to stand back, though, because of who they played. Because
right.
This goes back to what we talked about last week.
Yeah. They haven't beaten a good team.
They haven't beaten a good team this year. They have not. You look at the schedule. They haven't beaten a good team.
Yeah.
Name a good team they've beaten.
You're right.
And guess what? All good teams coming up.
Yeah.
All good teams.
Everybody.
They don't play a weak team again until, geez, I don't know. I don't see any in November, do you? Calgary's pretty good this year.
They got a big trip coming up.
You're going out to the West Coast. That's a problem. Going down to Florida for a couple. Things got to turn around. They got to turn around fast. I hope that your theory about spending a couple days in the Sunshine State will get things going.
I mean, you got to think it's going to help because even with training camp, John wasn't even here.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they never really had a chance to bond as a group.
No, I understand, and you're right about that. And I'll tell you where else I was wrong, and I said to you I didn't care about this at the beginning. I was wrong about Parenteau. They should have kept him.
Dude, it was baffling.
I was wrong.
It was absolutely baffling.
I didn't care at the beginning of the season.
That shootout alone against the Oilers had to make you think, oh, my God, they cut P.A. Parenteau.
But I didn't care because I thought that they were going to play Barzal and Bovillier.
Bovillier's played.
I understand
Barzal is watching every game,
but
which is preposterous.
But that's why I thought that...
Send the kid back.
Yeah,
let him play. So they're hijacking him the same way they're hijacking Berube. Let these kids play somewhere else.
And you know what the crazy thing is? It's almost like, who's responsible? You know, does anybody care? Who's Garth answering to? Does anybody care?
I saw
Andy talking about this the other day. Andy Graziano. Who's Garth answering to right now?
Ledecky.
But does
he's, I mean, Gart's also the team president. The only guy he's answering to is Jonathan Ledecky.
Right, but, is there
I
any...
I mean, John's at every game.
Does John pick up the phone and go, hey, Garth, what do we got happening here?
He's very involved.
Is anything going on? You know, are we doing anything to change this?
I think he's very
Because you guys
involved.
Look terrible. You're the general manager. You've got a kid sitting in the press box every night. You got three goalies. I get in the agent tweeting about, you know... Does he ask these questions?
I think he does. And I think had the Islanders lost Monday night, I think John would have called Garth. And whether Garth liked it or not, he said, we have to make a change. We can't go on like this. Because I think this team is better than how they're playing.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Right?
They should be better. I didn't think they were as good as last year's team, but I didn't think they'd be this bad either.
Exactly.
That's
so
pretty much
something
where
is
I'm
missing.
At.
Maybe EJ has an answer for us. He joins us now. EJ, Brian, and Mike, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Hey, EJ.
We're doing great. We think perhaps the Islanders saved Jack Capuano's job Monday night. What do you think?
I think it's possible to say that. I mean, you never know really what's going on behind the scenes. I think the change in ownership now for the Islanders makes the dynamic dramatically different. So I think it's possible. I mean, a home loss to a team like the Vancouver Canucks, who came in with a long losing streak, that is a team that's going to struggle, I think, probably most of the year. That kind of loss is one that rattles everybody's cage a little bit. So I think for sure, if the Islanders would have lost last night, the intensity of the conversation about Jack Capuano would have picked up dramatically.
Do you think, EJ, that there's a little bit of a disconnect here between him and Garth Snow? Because you see Jack after games last week saying, you know, we lost 145 points. I'm playing with six defensemen. He's kind of almost saying, you know, hey, look to the general manager box. Don't look at me.
Well, he's frustrated. There's no question. And when you do make those comments, you know, in the media, they can be taken any number of ways. I mean, Jack and Garth Snow have had a real good relationship for a long, long time. But again, the dynamic has changed. The owner has changed. And, you know, who knows what pressures are now on Garth Snow that maybe weren't there before. So, you know, I wasn't crazy about some of the offseason moves. It seems like, you know, Andrew Ladd finally got a goal last night, so maybe this will get him going. But, you know, really, at this point of the season, a team that opened with all these a really heavy home schedule, I think it was 10 out of the first 13 at home,
Yep. You
know, you need to get out of the gate, I think, pretty good in that circumstance, and it's been a struggle.
Well, the biggest thing for me, EJ, was that they just never replaced Franz Nielsen. I mean, I think Ladd and Oposo was kind of a lateral move, but Franz did so much for them. And then they sign P.A. Parenteau, who's really good in the shootout, and then they waive him before opening night. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was odd. I mean, I would tell you that, you know, from my perspective, I think that Oposo was a better and a younger player than Ladd. I mean, for whatever reason, they became disenchanted with Kyle Oposo. Maybe they just didn't think he was worth the money. They knew they drafted him. They've had him for all these years. They've seen the ups and the downs with that player, and for whatever reason, my reporting was that they never really negotiated with Kyle Oposo. And then to go out and sign Andrew Ladd, who was, you know, Andrew Ladd has had a real good career. He's been part of winning in a couple of different locations in his career. But when you look at the numbers, you look at his age, I don't know how you make a case that you can give Andrew Ladd about the same contract as you would have had to give Kyle Oposo and hope that you're going to get more out of him. So, you know, that to me was, you know, wasn't as much of a lateral move to me. I think that was a step backwards. I think that, you know, adding Jason Shimura is a guy that's been around a long time, that is got still a good skater. But, you know, really, you could add those kind of players to your team as young players that you find, whether it be as younger free agents or guys that you draft and develop into those roles. So that was another one. And to your point, I mean, you know, Franz Nielsen was a really important player for that team. They're hoping that the Brock Nelsons and the Ryan Stroms and the Anders Lees and those guys, you know, can step their game up. But, you know, the bottom line is Franz Nielsen was a real good player for them, and they miss him.
I agree with you, EJ, on some of the offseason moves. But for me, and you tell me if I'm nuts, do you think that the Islanders maybe put a little bit too much stock into Ryan Strome, Anders Lee, and Brock Nelsen to be top six guys when maybe they haven't quite reached that level yet?
Yeah, I know talking to Garth Snow at the draft, you know, that was his feeling, that, like, those guys have to take a step forward. And I don't think it's necessarily, you know, a bad thing to expect those players to take a step forward. They did draft them. They have developed them. They've drafted, you know, certainly in the case of Ryan Strome, he's a high draft pick. So I think you should want to have that expectation that these guys are going to develop into what we think they can be. But the question is, what you think they can be and what they will actually become may be two different things. So they have faith in those guys. They expected them to take a step forward this year. We're still early in the season. They've shown flashes of that in the past, but the question is, can they do it on a night-after-night basis? I mean, I think the Rangers had the same questions with players like Chris Kreider and JT Miller and Kevin Hayes. And so far this year, those three players have really moved forward for that team. For the Islanders, the three players we're talking about really haven't.
EJ, Yaroslav Halak has made no bones about how he feels about having two other goalies as teammates.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. I don't know what it's going to take for Jay Berube to find a new home, or maybe they find a new home for Halak. I don't think that's going to be the case with the money he still has coming to him. What's it going to take for Garth Snow to get rid of one of these goaltenders?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think that Yara Halak, there's really not a big market for Yara Halak right now because his play has been okay, but he's a guy that's been somewhat injury prone, and he's got another year at $4.5 million on his contract. So unless there's a significant injury to a goalie around the league, I think the market is pretty, you know, is not really great for Yara Halak right now. You talk about J.F. Berube, I think it's the same case. There's not a lot of body of work for players like that. We just saw Mike Condon, who I think has played more NHL games than J.F. Berube. They got a fifth-round pick for them. So, again, the market is not great. If you know, I just don't know exactly where Garth Snow feels he's going with this goal, with this goaltending. If he likes JF Berube so much that he's keeping a roster spot for him, then he should play him once in a while. I think it's unfair to the goaltender to have played 12 games last year, I believe, combined between NHL and AHL. Nobody gets better not playing. And if I was JF Berube, I'd be the one that's really irritated because this is a young goalie that's looking for opportunity, and he's basically a third wheel here. So I could see why all three goalies would have a reason to be disappointed or to be upset. And it's going to be one of those things, you know, there's only two nets in practice. It does make it uncomfortable. I think you can do it for a little while, but the Islanders have done it for a long while now, and I do think it's something. It's one of those first things that you can resolve. I mean, someone asked me the other day, you know, what would be the first thing you would do if you were in charge of the Islanders? And I think the first thing I would do would be to fix that circumstance there, because that's something that you can fix. And if it means losing one of them, then you lose one of them. But it's something that you can fix, and to get that distraction out of your locker room.
Agree with you 100%, EJ. And just to piggyback that, do you think Greiss was playing really well, and now Halak has started the last three games? Do you think that that's a showcase purpose, maybe, is why they're getting Halak out there every night the last couple of games?
Well, I think, you know, let's face it, Halak is still their number one goaltender, and he played very well at the World Cup of Hockey. And, you know, the numbers for Yarrow Halak are pretty good when you look at him over the last couple of years. The issue with Locke is that he has been dinged up a bit, and you know, that causes a problem for your team when he's going to miss time. But you know, out of the goalies there, I like JF Berube. I don't know, you know, if he's the guy that can play every day, but out of the goalies there right now, to me, Yarrow Halak is the best of the three. So if I'm the Islanders, he's the guy that I'm playing.
EJ, last question before you let you go. Should Jack Capuano lose his job, which is still possible? I mean, they have a road trip cup. They still have a lot of games coming up against tough teams over the course of this month. I think that they would go internally, and to me, it's kind of hard to sell this fan base, which is so restless right now, more of the same. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the fan base is probably, you know, I've had it. I mean, it's been a long, you know, we're talking about a long, long time, not just over the last couple of years. And there was such a positive movement forward last year, winning a playoff series and getting into the second round. So that is something to keep in mind. The team did move forward last year in that regard. You know, I'm not always big on saying somebody should be fired or not fired. I mean, I think that the management group there, they've changed. The ownership is new. You know, Jack has been there a long time. And, you know, we've been around this sport a while. We see there's not often, you know, the situations like Lindy Ruff in Buffalo being there for 15 or 16 years, or Barry Trotz being in Nashville that long, there are few and far between. So I think that he's definitely on the hot seat there. If I didn't see improvement, I think I would, you know, that would be the route I would probably go. But I think they've got other issues there as well. And we talked about some of them, guys that they really believe in, and young players that have not taken that next step yet. That's part of their problem right now.
Yeah, these young guys got to get going for sure. EJ, thanks so much for a few minutes. We really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, EJ.
Anytime, guys.
EJ Raddick does a terrific job on NHL Network. Mike, like I said to EJ, had the Islanders, or if the Islanders make a coaching change, I think it's going to be internal. I think it would be Greg Cronin. And to me, how you can sell more of the same to this fan base, maybe it would be really interim. Maybe Greg Cronin's the coach for 2 weeks and they go outside the box and hire somebody else. But I don't know how you can sell what has become a very restless fan base more of the same.
You can't sell that to me. I'm sorry.
It's tough.
If you're going to fire Jack, you want to fire Jack and people want to yell about firing Jack, that's fine. I want you to come with me with a legitimate replacement. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be fired. If you got somebody out there that's better, bring him to me. But if you bring me Greg Cronin, okay, or Brent Thompson, or Doug Waite, God forbid, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to agree with that. I'm going to say you might as well keep the guy that's back there that's been running the thing for the last couple of years, because all you're getting is the same thing if you put those three guys back there.
Right.
Those guys aren't the answer.
I don't think so either.
Jack's system. I mean, we got guys on Twitter over the weekend who think they're Scotty Bowman talking about the system. Honestly, I got still shots of them breaking out of the zone on Twitter the other day.
That's amazing.
I love you guys, but none of us are Scotty Bowman.
None
okay?
of us.
Stop with the system.
None
I
of us,
get it.
None of us are Jack Capuano.
None of us
Sorry,
are,
guys,
you know,
but we're not.
I,
Jack knows more about hockey than we do.
Fine, but just Greg Cronin. You give me Greg Cronin, we got a problem.
But in fairness to Jack, and again, I don't want to see anybody lose their job. I can't say that enough. But in fairness to Jack, and he's brought it up now multiple times so far this year, Mike, he's been handed a raw deck here between the three goalies.
He don't like
the
it.
Six defensemen, which, by the way, they better bring another defenseman on this trip because you can't go to Florida with 6D.
No.
So we're probably going to see Scott Mayfield very soon. We're taping this on Election Day. It might happen within the next 5 to 10 minutes.
Of course
that Scott Mayfield's been promoted from Bridgeport. But between that and these forwards who aren't getting any better, and whether or not he's even allowed to play Barzal, because maybe, again, maybe Gart's trying to showcase either Nelson or Strome, Jack's only doing the best he can right now, right?
I think he's been a little – I think if you go by his comments, he's been a little held down here.
Yeah.
He's not happy about the sixth defenseman. The three-goalie thing clearly isn't his
he's
doing.
He's the only coach in the league who has to deal with this.
He took the shot with the 145 points going out the door. So there's a rift. We talked about it with EJ. There's clearly a little bit of a rift.
I think
there
totally
is. And something's going on. But if you're going to bring me Greg Cronin, just take a, go away. Just please. I can't do it.
So what do you think happens? If they go winless on this Florida trip, is Jack safe?
I don't know.
It's tough to say,
it's
right?
It's hard to say just because I don't – I need a legitimate replacement.
Yeah.
I need a legitimate replacement.
One thing that we do have to mention is Bob Hartley was a finalist when Scott Gordon got the job. So that's a possibility. I have to think it's at least a possibility.
That's fine and good, but if Bob Hartley comes in and then you get rid of Garth Snow at the end of the season, if
and
for
then he's
whatever
want
reason,
his own coach.
Isn't the new general manager going to want a new coach?
I would think so. It's going to depend on how Hartley would perform down the stretch.
Right. I don't know.
They make
dude.
The playoffs and they win two rounds. Bob Hartley's the coach. No matter
I think
Garth
I think,
would still be the GM, by the way, if they win two rounds in the playoffs.
I think he's got till Thanksgiving.
All right. That's
I think fair. He's got. To, I think he's got the West Coast trip. I think that weekend. I think he's got 7 games. I think he's got 7 games to make some kind of marketed improvement.
I think Thanksgiving's the date. I think that's fair.
You know, that's I think around there.
You know what adds to this 100,000%, Mike, is the Rangers start. You think Islander fans are enjoying watching the Rangers skate circles about everybody they play and
Michael
scoring five goals
Michael
a night?
Grabner.
Seven goals.
It's making things where, honestly, I don't care about it. I'm not, you know, worried about it because Islanders got their own problems.
There's
right
enough
now,
to worry about here.
But it is kind of tough to look across town and see the Rangers just mauling people every night.
Every night.
What they're doing. Scoring five goals a game.
It's crazy.
They're killing teams. And hopefully they're getting it all out of their system so that they're not scoring goals by March or April.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to finish the year with 500 goals, but they're well on their way. You can check out Rangers Blowing with myself, Nick Lacalzi, and Adam Rotter. We're going to speak with Dan Rosen from NHL.com this week. To find the show, search SNY.TV Rangers on the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel. We haven't even talked about this yet. Travis Hamonic out 4 to 6 weeks, upper body, looked like a broken thumb. I can't say for sure, but big hole to fill. And Adam Pellick played pretty well Monday.
He played well. I think he played around, 17, 18 minutes, somewhere around there. He did a nice job. Like you said, they're going to need to get somebody else in here.
You have to.
Because you can't go with what you got. Just six guys again. And they also got another skate. Who almost, Boychuk on Saturday night.
Yeah.
With that play Close in the call. Boards over there. He was out on the bench for a little bit, came back. I think that was towards the end of the second period. Did come out for the third, obviously played in the Vancouver game as well. So that was a scary moment also for Johnny Boychuk. Pellick, I think, will be just fine. I think they're going to hold the ground. Seidenberg still getting it done.
Yeah, he's been good.
Let's see. I don't know when the other shoe's going to fall with Seidenberg because he's played well and he's played every game.
You have to think it's coming.
He's going to have a little bit of a lull at some point, you would have to think.
Sure.
This is going to be tough here, 4 to 6 weeks. I think we're still, another 2 or 3 weeks before Pollock is even close to
at
getting back in the mix.
At least another 2 weeks, yeah.
So you're still waiting on him to come back. He'll be back before Travis, hopefully. Going to have to get things going because the defense is what you could say is the strongest part of this team. You take Travis out of that.
It's a big loss.
They're still a good unit, but they've got to get things done. But Pellick did a nice job, and I think that he'll be okay filling in for the next 4 to 6 weeks.
But he can't feel too comfortable either, Mike. Like, not only do they have to go to Florida with 7D just because they have to go away with an extra defenseman, but you can't have this kid thinking that he's a lock to play 17, 18 minutes every night. If he falters, there's nobody breathing down his neck.
There isn't. There's nobody because Mayfield stinks. We know that.
Well, it's not. Mayfield's not even here. Is my point. Stinks. There's literally not another defenseman on the roster.
Right, but he
breathing
would be
down his neck for playing time.
He would be the next man up.
Yes, he would.
And
he's the only guy left.
He stinks.
They're not calling up Devontae's or any of these other guys.
So that's really not a lot of. You know, you talk about not having a short leash. I mean, you don't want to get Mayfield in the lineup. So that's, I think he's gonna have to just do it. He's gonna have to get it done. It's that simple.
Anything else you want to get off your chest before we go, Mike?
I don't know. I think that we're good. I you know,
any really good tweets besides the still shots?
We got a good one the other day about a couple guys wanted to put the new arena in the Arthur Ashe Tennis Stadium.
I
got
in that. The stadium?
Yeah, they wanted to put an ice rink in the tennis stadium because it has a roof now. I love those guys. A couple guys I really like. They listen to the show.
We love all you guys.
But we're at it. We're going too far out of the box now. Putting the rink in the tennis center. We got too many guys think they're Scotty Bowman. Too many putting an ice rink in the tennis center. Let's everybody calm down. Let's see what happens here. I'm fired up too. I didn't like what I saw the last week, and things are just going to have to change. You better hope they do.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, getting back to Jack for one more second before we go, was the way you saw the way Tampa Bay came out last Tuesday after just getting demolished by the Rangers.
Yep.
They come into Brooklyn. They beat the you-know-what out of the Islanders, and then you expect the Islanders to come out flying against Philly,
didn't
no pun
that.
Intended.
Didn't do it.
And they didn't do it.
Nope.
So where's the pride?
I don't see it. I really
don't. Problem.
I don't see it, and that when you start to see things like that is when you have to start considering a coaching change.
Right.
But not the Greg Cronin.
But because
not
again,
Greg, not the Greg Cronin.
They're not.
I'm sorry.
They are not.
I can't do it.
I can't believe that they're this bad. From a talent perspective, I can't believe them. All the guys they lost during the winter, the summer aside, I get it, but they're not this bad.
I'm sorry. You know who I'm blaming.
Ryan Strome?
Nelson Strome and Lee. Those three guys.
They really got to get going.
Those three guys, they expected a lot more than what they've gotten from them.
Yeah.
And they haven't shown it. Not this year. They haven't shown it. And until those three guys step up, Brock's still leading the team in points.
I don't have the sheet. I didn't bring the sheet. You yelled at me last week for bringing the sheet.
You don't need to look at the sheet because I don't care what it says.
John Tavares is their leader.
Those three guys are, for me, the reason. They should be more points between those three guys than they've gotten. That's where it falls on for me, personally.
And because another reason, these defensemen are going to stop scoring at some point.
Yeah, they had eight
straight
games.
It's not going to last, fellas.
They had eight straight games before last night?
Something
when defensemen
absurd.
Scored?
Yeah.
Not going to get that. You just, the well is going to go dry eventually.
Yeah.
And those three guys got
to
score.
Travis was one of the guys who was scoring.
Those
and now
three
he's gone
guys
for 4 to 6
gotta
weeks.
Score.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Right.
And that's why they're in the position that they're in. So find a way to fix it with those three guys because they're the reason why the Islanders are where they are, in my opinion.
Yep.
And the goalie fiasco, which we all know about.
Which is not going away, which we say every week.
How it hasn't gone away yet, we don't really know, but it hasn't gone away.
Big week coming up. Mike, good to see you.
You too, pal.
All right, pal. Thanks again to EJ Hradek. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.